Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the
Word. Verse 15:21. All right. Here reads the Word of God. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dog eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you have desired. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. May the Lord bless the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his precious and ever eternal word. I want to preach from the subject a mother pressing into Jesus. A mother pressing into Jesus. Look at your neighbor and repeat after me. Neighbor?
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Pastor Jones, is preaching, from the subject, a mother, pressing into Jesus. Now, our Lord leaves the land of Israel for the first time doing his public ministry. This is interesting because he came to Israel as a king. When he sent his disciples out, he instructed them to go into the cities of Israel, but not beyond her boundaries.
That's right.
Then the Lord was rejected by Israel. And there arose a conflict. The breaking point between Jesus and the religious rulers came only a few verses ago. Jesus himself step over the boundaries of Israel and lays down another principle. He will now receive the Gentile. His invitation is, come unto me, all ye that labor and the heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Literally, that is, in the Greek, I will rest you. Praise the Lord.
Rest you.
The Syro-Phoenician woman was a mixture of several races and a true Gentile. She had no claim on Jesus as the son of David. And when she addressed him as such, he answered not a word. The disciple said, send her away. For she cries after us. She was causing a disturbance. And probably a little embarrassment. She was following after Jesus. And she kept on hollering, Jesus, help me. Come on, Jesus, help me. That's how Mother Dunn Oh, my Lord. They got embarrassed and they told Jesus, get her out of here. She's making us look bad. Oh, my Lord. It seems to be a harsh statement that Jesus says, but it's a statement of fact. Jesus was offering himself first to the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the coming of the King of Israel, the King in David's line. He was forcing this Gentile woman to recognize the fact that Jesus came as King of the Jews. You mark that. It is and was the primary issue that had to be settled. He died with the subscription written over him on the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. When Herod wrote it, the rulers, the religious, the church folk were upset about what Herod wrote. And they went to him and said, you need to change that and write that he said he was. And Herod said, what I wrote is what I wrote. Oh, somebody ought to hear me today. In other words, he is who he says he is, whether you recognize him or not. One of the problems we have as people is that we recognize church without Christ. Oh yeah, we come to church, but do you really have Jesus in your heart? And Herod was able to declare who he was, but he was not able to accept him as his Lord. Now listen to this Gentile woman. It's a very strong statement. Such a rebuff as Jesus gave her concerning the children's bread would have sent many of us to the house. We'd have walked away. We'd have been mad. We'd have been upset. We'd have been angry. We would have been cussing. Nerve he got. Come call me a dog. But what you need to understand, when you have a great need, there can't nobody but Jesus fix. Nothing he say gonna hurt your people. Because you know what you need more than you need. Oh, somebody ought to help you. She had a great need. Her daughter was in trouble. The girl of destruction. She knew she needed to be in the presence of the Lord. So she kept pressing even through himself. She kept pressing even though she was cast down. And the disciples said, we reject you and send you away. You remember that our Lord told of a poor man who asked for the crumbs just fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores. The Israelites used the word dog in reference to the Gentiles. This woman was willing to bear the reproach because she believed in the Lord Jesus. Our Lord really marvels at faith. He marvels at the faith of this Gentile woman. Every time Jesus brags on anybody in the Bible, it's because of their faith.
You said something, Richard.
He brags on the widow who gives a penny. And we would ignore her. We would put her on the visitation list. We walk out on her. We consider her an insignificant part of our financial enterprise. Therefore, she couldn't be considered a member of esteem. But Jesus bragged on her because she gave a penny. There were folks who were walking up to the pulpit and giving a great deal of money. They were strutting and putting their money in. But Jesus didn't brag on them. But he bragged on the widow woman who gave a penny. And he explained it to him, said that you gave out of your abundance, and she gave out of her life. You gave something, she gave everything. Took faith to give everything. Some of us right now are holding on to our tithes because we think we got to pay some bills. But you got good sense to give what God has and to receive what God has promised. Some of us trying to break the windows of heaven, but we can't stop what God was saying. But you need to give, so God will open the windows of heaven so you can be showered with blessings.
Yes, sir.
He said, come unto me.
Yes.
All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll help you. Out of this, your burden. And that was what he did.
Thank you, Lord.
Even for a Canaanite. He answered and dealt with her need because her great faith was revealed.
Yes.
And the Lord responded.
Yes, sir.
That's a beautiful story, isn't it?
Yes.
But there are four things I want to bring out of that story that I want to make plain to you.
Right.
I want you to see it before I leave it.
Alright.
And I want you to receive it before I let it go.
Alright.
First thing that we see in that story is that she brought her daughter into the presence of the Lord. Now physically her daughter wasn't there. Physically her daughter wasn't there.
She
was at the house. But mothers can bear your spirit like nobody else can. My Lord. A mother can carry you. You know, when you don't go to church, mama can take you there in her spirit. Somebody ought to help you. When you don't want to do right, mother can bear you in her spirit. Somebody ought to help you. And so she bears her child into the presence of the Lord.
Because
some of y'all had to be brought by your mama and her spirit. What you should have done. She went to church. She became your intercessor. She prayed for you. And somehow you got a breakthrough. And you found the truth you didn't have. Somebody will help you now. When you found the thing she did have, you realize it was because of her great influence and her bearing you in her spirit into the presence of the Lord.
The second thing I want you to see
is she's not stopped by rejection and embarrassment.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Some of us quit.
Yeah.
Simply because we're embarrassed. We feel rejected. I had an experience at the church where I preached the most.
All right.
A young lady told me, she said, I really want to come to church, but when I come in, everybody look at me and as though they're judging me.
Well,
I said, baby, first thing I want you to understand clearly is that some folk may be doing that. No, church folk like that. I can't say they ain't doing it. No, church folk like that. I said, maybe they don't just judge you, they be judging me.
Yes, sir.
I said, but the real problem is not what they think, it's what you think. Oh, somebody ought to help me. I said, when you enter the presence of the Lord, you ought to feel comfortable knowing that he loves you in spite of you. You ought to feel joy knowing that he died for you. She kept crying out for Jesus.
Well,
they said, get her out of here.
Well,
and you know, it was interesting to me. And the disciples said she's crying after her. She didn't want them to see her in here.
Word.
You gotta have enough sense to understand that when you enter the place of worship, it's not for them, it's for him.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Third thing, I got that here. You got that note.
Yes.
I was alone. Third thing, she was willing to worship her Lord before he granted her request.
Yes.
Some of us, we sitting in church and we waiting on our breakthrough. We ain't got a praise in spirit because we're troubled about what we don't have. And we don't understand that where there's no worship, there's no rain.
Yes.
Where there's no worship, there's no rain. Let me explain. See, God is not controlled by your praise. He's not controlled by your praise. You can't make him do nothing. Because he's sovereign. Nothing you do can't control what he does. Oh, somebody over there.
Yes.
We don't praise God for what he gives us.
Come on. This is who he is. That's it.
You see, too many of us want what's in his hand. We don't want what's in his heart. Too many of us want relations, but we don't want no relationship. We want the good thing God has to offer, but we don't want a Lord who commands us to walk a certain way. So we want to get something from God without giving something to God. But look at this woman. She calls him Lord. See, everybody wants to say, Well, you go in the club and you ask the folk in the club, do you want to save you? Everybody raise their hand.
Yeah,
Everybody want to save.
Yeah,
Everybody want to get saved. Everybody want salvation.
Well,
but if you ask them, they want the Lord, they'll say, "Fine, don't worry." And many of us reject the lordship of Christ because lordship means sovereignty. Absolute authority. Means absolute control over my life. Absolute order in my life. His word is above every word. When he speaks and commands, I got to move. That the spirit will make me run. The spirit will make me shout. The spirit will make me do this, that, and the other. But nowhere in that song did it say the spirit will make me pay my tithe. Every other Lord in our salvation, Lord in our blessing, we want to keep him out of Lord of our house. Either he's Lord of all or Lord not at all. She worshiped.
Yes, sir.
The word worship in Greek means she fell down on her face before him. And worship always gets God's attention. There's many of the people who have been to church most of their life and never worship. The worship is an encounter with divinity that transforms my life, that changes my life. You see, you can't come in here and worship and then leave with the same messed up values, messed up ideologies, messed up philosophies, and jacked up life. Not just jumping and singing at a praise song. That's where he's robotics. That's good stuff. I like it. Now we're headed what it's all about. It's about transformation. And that transformation brings a confirmation that he's working in your life. I'm thankful to God.
Thank you.
That he's long-suffering. He's patient. And he works on one thing at a time in our life. And when he gets that fixed, we're going to move to another place.
There's
so much stuff in many of us. It'll take a lifetime for him to work
that
out. One of my deacons told me one Sunday in Sunday school, he said, "Pastor, the Lord could move in a man's life and transform him in a second." I said, "You're absolutely right, but that man couldn't take it." You see, if God really wanted you to go to heaven without any sin, this is what he'd have done, because he washed your sins away. And he'd have saved you, then killed you. Not another week, not another hour, not another day. I'm talking about right now. Oh, you think I'm playing with
you? No, you're serious.
There are some people who are going to be saved after the church is raptured. They're going to be saved in the book of Revelation, chronicles their salvation, and when they are saved, they get martyred. They lose their lives. And a few of them leave it because John said it was a number that no man could number. And we are privileged to live in the age of grace,
yes,
where we
yes,
have
yes.
the opportunity yes. to come to him out of the sweetness of a
spirit.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
By Lord. Mm. She worshipped him. She fell down before him. And she owned him as her Lord. And she said, help me.
Oh,
Lord. She said, help me.
Yeah.
She owned him as Lord, and she said, help me.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that she didn't say, help my daughter.
That's right.
Lord, help me. That's
right.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't there for her.
Well.
She suffered the humiliation, the rejection, the embarrassment. Not for her, but for her child.
Well.
And she said, Lord,
help me.
You see, let me explain it to you. She was bearing her child in her spirit.
Well.
And there was no way she could move from the reality that what God did for her would affect her child.
Yeah.
Ain't that a mom? As God worked in her life, her child's life would be worked in and worked on. She had confidence in the Jesus she'd heard about. She hadn't met him because he hadn't been close to her child yet. But the Bible says he went another place. Crossed over the border to Tyre and Sidon. And when she found out he was there, she came seeking for him. She was a God chaser. She was chasing after him. Because she had a great need. She was chasing after him. But I want to explain something to you. Even though she chased after him, she'd already made up her mind that everything that was said about him was true. She said, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. There were some Jewish folk who wouldn't say that. They didn't believe he was the son of David. They didn't believe that he was their Lord. They weren't willing to worship him. They called him Beelzebub. They said he was the devil of flies. They said that he was an evil man who was working tricks. You remember the blind man in John chapter 9? They talked to him about 15 times. And asked him what happened. Who did it? How did he do it? When did he do it? Said on the Sabbath day. And then the final analysis is he went to his parents and said, is this your child who was born blind? They said, yeah, that's him. They said, how'd he get here? They said, he's over here. He let him speak for himself. So they called him back and they read the indictment. They said, we're going to praise God that you can see. But the man who healed you is an evil man. Who does not know God, or does not represent God. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. But what I do know is I was blind. That's how I can see. Or somebody else. I do know what he did for me. I do know that he did what nobody else did for me. God does not hear sinners pray.
Well,
when he prayed for me, God heard it. Because I felt some irises growing in my eyes.
Well,
I felt some limbs and nerves. And I looked up and I could see it. So I don't know what you say about it. But the thing I know about that man, he's all right. But now I say, I'm with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm with you. She worshiped. She worshiped. She fell down before him.
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you got on your face before Jesus? Well, that embarrassed me. That's my suit of clothes. If your stuff is so good it can't get on the floor before Jesus, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Read Revelation. The 24 elders had a scab on their forehead. Because every time the Lord entered in, they fell down on their
head.
She worshiped him.
Yeah.
You see, I can prove to you that worship that does not facilitate a change in your life is hollow and empty. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, that in the year the king of Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. And there were seraphim that flew around him that had six wings. With two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they did fly, and with two wings they covered their eyes, and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts."
Yeah.
And as I saw that scene, Isaiah said, I said to myself, "Woe is me.
Woe is me.
For I'm a man of unclean lips."
Yeah.
And I dwell among the people of unclean lips.
Yeah.
He said, one of the seraphim came and took a live coal from fire.
Right.
And this ain't symbolic, this real. No, so that's the symbol of the cleansing of sin. No, that's the burning of them lips. and it laid the coal upon my lips. Now it was interesting to me that when Isaiah's lips got cleansed, his ears came open. If I just can't hear what God's saying, go, we talking too much stuff. But when his lips got clean, he just heard somebody say, "Well, I need somebody.
Here I am.
Go for me." He said, "Here am I."
Yes, Lord.
He's in me.
Come on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Was that a change in his life?
Yes.
That's true worship.
Yes.
And she worshiped him as a Lord before she got what her request granted.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
See, I don't care what you stand in need of. God is worthy of your worship
right now.
I don't care what problems in your life or what difficulty at your address, how ignorant your husband is acting, or how bad your wife is treating you, or how your children are acting like aliens for another planet. It doesn't matter how they treat you on your job. It doesn't matter if your money's funny. It doesn't matter. If your body is broken, if you got difficulties that you can't pilot your way through, God is so good that in the midst of anything you're going through, you ought to worship Him. You ought to fall down before Him. You ought to worship Him. You ought to lift up His name. You ought to glorify Him. You ought to exalt His name for salvation. You ought to be a living testimony. Everywhere you go, there ought to be a light shining in your life, because you're in the presence of God, and the power of God is manifest in your body. Even though you may not have what you want, it's not Jesus.
It is enough.
More than enough.
Yeah.
I need to get through.
Yeah.
Because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And I know a great piece of wheat. Oh, I know you felt the same way. But that's what the final thing I want to lift out of this story.
All right. Come on, let's get it. Come on.
Yes, sir. She received the favor of her Lord.
Yeah.
Favor never comes because of what you do. Because you can't do enough.
Well.
Favor never comes because of who you are.
Yes.
Favor is the production of faith in God. Now, let me, can I show you something?
Sure.
Yeah.
You see, most folk take Hebrews 11 and 1 and they define faith.
Yeah.
And that's not a definition, it's a description.
Well,
it is.
It describes what faith does.
Well,
faith hopes in a hopeless situation.
Well,
faith waits for a future blessing.
Well,
that's a description.
Yes.
Not a definition.
Right.
But I want to give you a definition. Get your pen out, write it down.
Right.
I want to give you a definition.
Right.
Faith is expecting God to be God when God is God, because God is always God. Faith is expecting God to be God because God is God and God is always God. So faith is just an expectation that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he'll do.
If you do it,
and you can't control it. All you have to do is understand that if you believe it, you'll receive it.
That's faith, man.
That's what I preach. That real faith doesn't say, God, heal me. Real faith is, God, heal me and kill me to get some glory out of it.
Yes,
she received faith. Jesus said to her, you have great faith. You've suffered in, son. And you kept pressing.
Yeah.
You suffered embarrassed.
Well.
And you kept pressing.
Well.
You were called a dog.
Well.
And you kept pressing.
Yes, sir.
You were belittled.
Yeah.
And you humbled yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you kept pressing.
Yeah.
You were insulted.
Yeah.
And you kept pressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because your faith is great.
Yeah.
You have an expectation that God will do whatever God will do when God gets ready. So you kept pressing. You kept believing. You didn't believe me for it. You believe me. Oh, my Lord. It's not faith in God for God. It's faith in God for God is God. It's not faith in God for healing. It's God because God is God. It's not faith in God for a better house. It's God because God is God. It's not faith in God to get you a husband. But it's faith in God because God is God. God to turn your marital situation around. Just for a few minutes. And I'm done. I'm going to the great feast. You may not know, but I know that I am foundationally who I am, because there's a lady over there carried me in her spirit.
Praise
the Lord. When I wanted to give up, she told me I was the best at what I do. Don't quit. Keep on going. God will lift you up. Do whatever you need. But don't give up. Don't quit. Every morning. I used to listen to the door, because my bedroom had a door that was blocked. It wasn't really mine, it was ours. I can hear my mama through that door praying for us. Somebody ought to help me. Because there were things I would have done, but I didn't do. Because her prayers and embarrassed. Who's willing to worship him even though you ain't come through yet. And she received the favor of the Lord because of her great faith.
Yes, Lord.
Now, there's only two possible responses to this message. There are only two. See, somebody in here has been lost all their lives. Mama's been praying for you. And today, his mother's day.
Yes, Lord.
What a gift. If you wonder what a gift you can
get. What a gift.
What a gift. Hold on. So that's logical.
Yeah.
That if she's been praying for me, and I want to give her a gift. But I need to give myself a gift. That bless her more than anything.
Yes, sir. Who have not had such an experience.
Who don't understand what God has done.
Oh, Lord.
And in the moment when I say come to the altar, you are a runner here.
Yeah.
Because you've been blessed.
Yes.
And I call my mama, I'm a mama's boy and I ain't ashamed.
Come on. Come on, God.
I call my mama and tell her, oh, but
well,
I am thankful.
Yes,
I'm
Lord.
I'm part of this family.
Well,
you my mama.
Yes.
On my life.
Yes.
I'm thankful for my grandma.
Yes.
I'm thankful for my big mama.
Yes.
I'm thankful for a few elves that we talked about.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for Bertha James.
Well,
I'm thankful for Marie James.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for those folks.
Yeah.
And why not them? Because they
have
an impact.
Well,
in my life.
Yes.
They made me a person of integrity.
Yes.
They made me a person who seeks after God.
Yes.
They gave me a chance to be the man I am.
Yes.
And I'm thankful to them.
Yes.
For all that impact.
Yes.
I'm glad I grew up in Bethlehem.
Well,
I'm glad I had my family around.
Yes.
I'm glad I had the opportunity to be born again where Jesus was born.
Well,
be a part of this family.
Yes, Lord.
I rejoice.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In his presence.
Yes, Lord.
Let's give Jesus gift.
Yes, Lord.
So two responses. Come to Jesus. Give your mother a wonderful Mother's Day gift.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come before this altar with rejoicing.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
because you have been brought in your mother's spirit.
Yes.
Into a place like this. And she sought God in your behalf on many a day.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
simply
Lord.
To say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
Yes, Lord.
For being who you are.
Yes, Lord.
And doing what you do.
Yes, Lord.
You didn't just give it birth. But you pressed into Jesus and gave me life.
Yes.
Let me give you a correction in your theology. You see, most people think we live and we die. But Jesus said in John chapter 5, bound by verse 21, Jesus says that those who believe in him will pass from death to life. Now I want you to come around the altar. If you fit any of those categories, those two categories I was talking about.
Yes, sir.
I'm here today. Because my mother prayed for me.
Oh, yeah.
Has me on her mind.
Yes.
How about you?
Yes.
I'm with you.
Hear that. Yes, sir.
How about you?
Because of mama. Yes, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
To hear that word.
Yes, Lord.
and receive the blessing.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Of peace that is offered.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
For our mom.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, it's such a blessing to have a praying mom.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord. That not only do we have a praying mama, but we have a praying God.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we worship you right now.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
We worship you. Because we don't want to leave the same way we came.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
We want transformation in our hearts.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Transformation in our minds.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
It doesn't make a difference on Sunday, but for sure.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
And God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
That you're making a difference in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
That you're challenging us to live better.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Challenging us to walk better.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Challenging us to share our testimony.
Yes, Lord.
To give a word of hope.
Yes, Lord.
To the hopeless situation.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
To tell people where we used to be.
Yes, Lord.
That God can work it out.
Yes, Lord.
Not only can God work it out, God can pull you out.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
God can lift you up.
Yes, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord.
Thank you, 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 Lord. Now, if I get you people just to pray, here's all the who you're praying about.
Yes, Lord.
Before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. Love, believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior Lord. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.